Final case this morning, Guzman v. City of Chicago.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel. My name is Larry Jakowiak. I represent the plaintiff appellant in this case. In opposition to the defendant's motion for summary judgment, the plaintiff presented evidence that when the officers arrived to execute this warrant for a single-family residence, they observed a building which had a storefront, a real estate business, separate apartments. To get to the plaintiff's apartment, they had to go to a separate side door, to the separate mailbox, go up some stairs to a locked door, and knock on that door to the upstairs apartment. Even though at that point they knew they were entering an upstairs apartment separate from the downstairs business in the other apartment, they went in anyway. The building had not only a business in the front with windows, with real estate postings, making it clear and plain that there was a real estate business there, but also an apartment in the back. During the course of the search, the officers admitted to entering both apartments and the business. They called it, or they can call it, counsel called it a security sweep, but going into a business or a home or an apartment and looking around, no matter what you call it, under the Fourth Amendment, that's a search.
Let me just, because your time is so limited, let me get down to a question. And it's this. Assuming that the multiple mailboxes were not visible, what evidence was there that should have alerted the agent that this was not a single-family residence, other than the small real estate sign and the two doors? I mean, real estate is a type of business that's often practiced out of a home.
Yeah, it's true. But the definition of a single-family residence, traditionally a standalone building which houses a residence alone, here in the city of Chicago, this is a very traditional multi-level, multi-unit, multi-use building. There is a separate business downstairs, and the fact that there was a front door to that business, and those officers admitted to going to that business before going into the upstairs apartment, once the entry is made into that business, the downstairs business, it should have been clear that once they entered, it was a standalone business, not simply a den in somebody's home or apartment. They had to leave that business, go around the front, through a door with a separate mailbox, upstairs to a front door to an apartment. Those facts, all by themselves, the fact that they had to go through a side door upstairs and knock to get into a locked door to an apartment, should have made it clear that this was not a single-family residence. Otherwise, they could have entered, got to the upstairs apartment from the business downstairs. They couldn't do that because it was impossible.
And because the door that the officers entered to proceed to the second-floor unit didn't provide access to the rest of the house. Is that why?
Correct.
Okay. You've also argued that the manner in which the search was executed was unreasonable. Was Ms. Guzman asked if she or her husband had any connection with this Estrada guy that they were looking for? And if so, what did she say?
I don't think she was, and I don't think there's anything in the record indicating that she was. She wasn't asked about that, and there was no connection to that guy. The record does establish, though, that Mr. Estrada gave that address as his residence many years before.
And that's why that address was included in the, was the basis for the affidavit for the search warrant.
No, the reason for the address was that was the address given by the John Doe.
Right.
And apparently it can be inferred that John Doe gave the officer stale old information. He knew the guy lived there 4 years ago. Quite often John Doe's seek to curry favor with officers and give information which is inaccurate.
But see, it seems to me when you're executing a warrant like this, one of the first things that they would ask, if they're really coming looking for Estrada, that she's pregnant, and they would ask if you know Estrada. I mean, as far as they know, Estrada lives there, maybe he doesn't, I don't know, maybe he stays there, maybe has no connection at all, but that would be a pretty logical question to ask during the early, as soon as you enter, to execute the search warrant.
I agree, and that would be.
So I'm curious about what the record tells us about what, if anything, was said.
I don't recall that issue. I don't recall anything in the record about whether that question was asked. I can check with co-counsel before my rebuttal and try to confirm that.
Sure.
If there's no further questions, we'll reserve the remainder for rebuttal.
Counsel? Ms. Witcher?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. To Judge Evans' question, on page 10 of our brief, we explained that when the security sweep was performed at the second floor, Ms. Guzman was given a copy of the warrant and explained what was going on. They asked her about whether she knew Estrada, if she knew where he was, whether he lived there, and she responded no to those questions.
Was that true?
Yes, the record reflects.
So what happened here is just got the complete wrong information about where Estrada was.
In part, there was, as you pointed out, evidence from the police database that he had used this address before. Sergeant Bonster was informed by Doe that just recently Estrada had been seen there by Doe with the handgun. So we know at the very least there's some connection to this house. It turns out after the fact that we don't know how recent that information was, but as Doe explained, he had just seen Estrada there days before. That address was reflected several times as one that he had given. He had given addresses around that address, 1538, 1636, West Walton as well. So based on what was known at the time, it was reasonable for Sergeant Bonstetter to believe that Estrada had connection to that house and had connection to that house recently.
The other apartment was under construction, or what was happening?
Correct. It was empty, and it was undergoing construction at the time that the search warrant was executed.
There's no question now, I guess, that it was a two-apartment or two-flat.
Right. When the officers went in to execute the warrant, they found an empty apartment and a separate.
It wasn't a single-family residence that had been converted into to separate, or do we know that?
The record doesn't reflect that. This is one of those neighborhoods where a lot of the old single-family houses are converted into apartments and then now are being torn down and bigger condos are being built. So there's pictures in the record of how the building looked well after the warrant was executed, but from looking at it, it looks like one of those old single-family residences that's later changed into multi-unit residences. So
you argue that because Sergeant Bonstetter knew that Estrada had exited with a handgun from the door that led to the second floor staircase, that Bonstetter knew enough to determine the proper subject of the search was the second floor, and to limit the search accordingly once he found it was a multi-unit building. But the informant also testified that Estrada had entered through the other first floor door, the one that did not lead only to the second floor. So that equally leads, it seems to me, to the conclusion that Estrada could have retrieved the gun from one of the first floor units. Given that the informant had Estrada using both doors, how could Sergeant Bonstetter possibly know which unit could properly be searched?
Well, he not only had the information from Doe about him coming down the stairs with the handgun, but once they got into the building, they see there's a commercial unit and an empty residential unit. At that point, much like in the Jones case, the problem in that case was once they found out that someone that they were looking for didn't live there, they continued to go, you know, from residence to residence. Here, right when they get in, it's clear that neither the commercial space nor the other residential space would fit what Doe had told them, that this probably was not where Estrada had the gun because there was not internal control and access, like Doe had explained. So given the information known before and then the information acquired as soon as they got into the building, there was only one place that was reasonable.
I'm still trying to figure out what the basis for them is to search a discrete apartment on the basis of a warrant for a single-family residence, particularly after they see it. They know it.
Well, we have the information that Estrada came downstairs with a gun. Presumably, if he would have had the gun on the first floor, he would have entered that door and come out with the gun. Sergeant Bonstetter was reasonable to think that he had gone internally upstairs and come downstairs with a gun and then determined that the second floor, where someone was actually living, was the proper subject of the search once they got into the building. I just also wanted to clarify some of the aspects of the building that Guzman relies on to say that the officers should have known that this was a single-family home. He points to the real estate sign. As the pictures reflect, there's now a very large sign that clearly would indicate to someone that the first floor is being used as a commercial business. At the time of the search warrant's execution, however, the sign was small and in the window, and as Judge Caney pointed out, that could reflect that someone had a home business or was perhaps even advertising their business out of their home. The black mailbox on the brown door was not there at the time. Guzman even testified to that in her deposition, and also the flyers in the window. The real estate owner indicated that the number of flyers varied from time to time, and Sergeant Bonstetter testified that there were none in the window that day. So the pictures and the description that Guzman is relying on simply don't reflect what was seen when the warrant was executed.
The FBI agent did take John Doe how many days before the execution of the warrant? The day before?
That June 10th date. So the same day he was being interviewed, the warrant was acquired on, I believe, June 13th, so just a few days later. Unless the court has any questions, we ask that you affirm the grant of summary judgment because the warrant here was valid on its face and properly executed. Thank you, Your
Honor. Thank you, Counsel. You have 4 minutes, sir.
Well, we know that Doe told Bonds that it was a single-family residence specifically. We don't know exactly what Doe told the FBI agent, if anything. We don't know what the FBI agent told Bonstetter, but we do know that Doe told Bonstetter a single-family residence. Bonstetter got there. It wasn't a single-family residence. And with regard to the pictures were not taken that day, but we do know from the record what the building looked like that day. There was a real estate business in front with a center entrance, a side entrance to an upstairs apartment. There were separate mailboxes. There were flyers in the window, and there was a sign on front.
How was entrance gained to the downstairs apartment?
They went through the front door. And when they went through that front door, what they saw was a small office space with not part of any home or apartment, an office all by itself. And that office had no stairway leading to the second floor apartment. To get to the second floor apartment, they had to leave the office space, go back outside, go to the side door, and go upstairs. And the argument seems to be that, well, when Bonstetter got there, he relied upon what he knew to search only the upstairs apartment. There's two problems with the argument. One, he didn't search only the upstairs apartment. They searched both apartments and the business and the backyard. Everything that could be searched was searched. Also, the argument seems to be that, well, once Bonstetter got there and realized the warrant was faulty, he could then reapply for a warrant to himself, approve the warrant for what he thinks the warrant should read. But at that point, he knew that Doe was not reliable. Doe had given him false information, which he admitted, and certainly with those facts, there was not probable cause to search any apartment based on information from Doe.
We're looking at good faith in these cases. You know, we're going to excuse a mistake for good faith. The fact that they had two warrants, search warrants, for two different places based on what Doe said and didn't execute the second one, to me, is perhaps good evidence that they were acting in good faith.
To me, it's good evidence that they should have applied the same rule to the first apartment. They realized
the
information.
They searched the first one, and then they realized that Doe information was inaccurate, so they weren't going to use the second warrant.
Well, they realized before they searched Guzman's apartment that the information was inaccurate. They chose to search it anyway. And this court has repeatedly held that under those facts, the search should not take place.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
Again, thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess till next week.